Good morning. Be turning, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We'll be spending some time on some verses in chapter 4 and eventually chapter 5, which most likely we'll get to this evening. Now, life sometimes is a little bit complicated, as I'm sure each of us knows. Sometimes it's joyous, sometimes it's difficult. One writer of a song on the radio station where I work wrote this in a song: "If I had my way, I must admit, if I called every play of the game, I'd pray for good times, blue sky, and sunshine, and avoid with a passion the pain." That kind of sums it up for me. That's kind of how I'd like life. But life isn't like that. Those lines could have been written about me sometimes. Many of us would rather avoid with a passion the pain. But that's not what life's made of. There are joyous times, good times, and blue skies. But life is also filled with pain. We learn from pain. Pain teaches us. Pain is present throughout all of life. And you know something? The believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is not exempt from pain. Now, many times you'll hear different ones say, you know, all you need to do is come to the Lord Jesus Christ and life just becomes a bed of roses, just wonderful. Well, they forget to tell you about the thorns. There are thorns that go with the roses. That's life as it is. And that's what we want to look at this morning. Paul wrote about this in his second letter to the Corinthians in chapter 4 and chapter 5. And we want to look a little bit about life as it is, then also life in its proper perspective, and then, Lord willing, tonight, life as it will be for the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's just read 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Start with verse 7. "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh." Then let's skip down to verse 16. Verse 14. "Knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you." Then verse 16. "Therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." And then let's continue on in chapter 5. "For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation which is from heaven, if indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." The Lord add a blessing to the reading of His Word. We want to look a little bit, starting off this morning, about life as it is. Life as it is. And we start that in verse 7. As we read through this passage, we see life spelled out in detail. You know, life can have its joys and its good times, but life, because we're sinners living in a sinful world, is bound to have some troublesome times and difficult times. And Paul outlines them a little bit in this passage. First of all, he points out that life is fragile. Life is fragile. We see that in verse 7. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. You know, life is fragile for everyone. For everyone. You know, at Christmas time, you know, it's coming up, or birthdays or other special times, sometimes we'll send gifts to family or loved ones. And sometimes we send gifts that are easily broken or easily damaged. And we put on the package the word fragile, handle with care, because we don't want it broken. We don't want it damaged. We want the gift to get to our destination in one piece. You know, that describes our life in this sinful, fallen body, doesn't it? It's fragile. It's easily damaged. It's easily broken. Life is fragile. It's like a piece of pottery. And that's what Paul talks about here. Our life is in earthen vessels. Pottery. Clay pottery. Pieces of pottery can be easily broken or cracked under pressure. Pottery will often break at its weakest point or the point of most use. And that describes us as well, I think. Sometimes the pressure will become great, and sometimes things will break apart or things will crack. And since I don't know a whole lot about pottery myself, but my wife is an art teacher, I ask her a little bit about pottery. And she says sometimes in the firing process, those pieces of pottery that have imperfections or that have air bubbles or air pockets will crack and break in the oven. You know, it sort of makes you think that God knew what he was talking about when he had Paul write that we were earthen vessels, that we were pieces of pottery. Life is fragile. And you know something? Life is fragile for the believer as well. We who put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and know him as our personal Savior are not exempt from the fragileness of life, if I can create a word there, if that's not a word. But we as believers do not escape being fragile. We too are composed of earthen vessels. The difference is what's on the inside. The difference is that on the inside of believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, there's this wonderful treasure that when our lives go through this time of fragile mishandling sometimes, when life deals us harsh blows and we become cracked or broken, what happens is that treasure that is on the inside shines out through the cracks, shines out through the breaks. And it shows the love and the glory of Christ to those that are around us. We have a treasure in these earthen vessels. It's not that we don't hurt or feel the pain that life brings. We do, because we're human. It's that we in our weaknesses can display the glory of the Lord to those that are around us as we go through these times of weakness, as we go through these times of pain. That's the difference. Life is fragile for everyone, even the believer. But we as believers have an opportunity in our time of brokenness, in our time of pain, to let the love and the glory and the light of Christ shine forth. The difference is that the unbeliever must cope the best way he can, or she can, in times of brokenness and pain. But we have something that we can rely on, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. The believer has someone to cling to and to lean on to go through problems with. It's that treasure that's on the inside, the indwelling Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ who lives in us. He is the treasure that we carry inside. And sometimes it is that when we're cracked or broken open that we can share with others of how we can go through situations when a similar situation for an unsaved person would be too much for them to handle. Paul learned that when he was weak or in a broken physical condition, that's when Christ's strength and glory shone through the most. You remember what he said? We're in 2 Corinthians. Let's turn over a few chapters to chapter 12. Chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians. verses 7 through 10. Paul wrote, "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" And it's Christ who is strong through you. Those who are in these earthen, fragile vessels that do not know Christ do not have that strength that Paul had available to them during those times of brokenness. That strength and that grace that's available to us as we live in these fragile lives. Whatever fragility you are experiencing as a believer, whether it's physical, emotional, mental, other kind of fragileness, you know, we need to learn to see it as an opportunity to let the treasure that's within us, the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, shine through the cracks. To let others around us see how the Lord can minister to us in our time of brokenness, in our time of pain that we all go through. That they may see Christ through us, even in life's fragile moments. So we see life is fragile, and I don't think anyone would argue with that. Then Paul goes on to say that life is difficult. Life is difficult. We read about that in verse 8, the first part of verse 8. "We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed." And again, I have to say that life is difficult for everyone. In verse 8, we read there that we can expect to be hard-pressed. That means to suffer affliction, to suffer due to pressure of circumstances or the antagonism of persons. And it refers to that which comes upon one from without. So it means pressures that come on us from the outside. Is there anyone here immune to outside pressures? I don't think so, myself included. Is there anyone here immune to afflictions, to antagonisms from people, to pressure from life circumstances? I don't think you need to give the answer, because I think I can give it as well. Life's pressures sometimes can squeeze us. There's financial pressures. There's physical pressures and demands. There's emotional and mental distress and pressures. There's the loss of a job, the loss of a loved one, deadlines at work, home pressures, car troubles, peer pressure, antagonism of someone who doesn't like us or feels threatened by our abilities. And it can go on and on and on. Example after example can be brought up. Life is difficult for everyone. The difference again is the handling of these pressures. Many who do not know Christ and do not rely upon Him daily can come apart at the seams under life's pressures. When they become hard pressed, they fall to pieces. And these pressures are common to man. But then we need to know that life is difficult also for the believer. But for the believer, there's a pressure valve to help us in these times. Paul could write that he and others indeed were hard-pressed on every side. But for the believer, there's a pressure also that's brought to bear about the persecution for faith in Christ. Yet in the midst of the pressure, there's a release valve so that Paul could write that they were not crushed. We're not crushed. We may be hard-pressed on every side. There may be tremendous pressures brought in our lives, especially if we're trying to live for the Lord and people around us don't like it. But although we are and sometimes can be hard-pressed, The good thing is that we're not crushed. Paul could write in another letter to the Corinthians that there is no temptation or no trial or no test that comes upon you, but such as is common to man, and that God is faithful, who will not allow us to be tested beyond what we can bear, but will, in the temptation, show us a way of escape that we may be able to bear up under the pressure. God has promised that He will enable us to bear up under life's pressures. They may get difficult at times, and we may at times like to run away from them or find escape or relief. But the verse that Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians that I read in chapter 10, verse 13, is that God is faithful and will not allow us to be tested and not allow us to be hard-pressed beyond what we can bear, but will show us a way of escape that we may be able to withstand the pressure that we're going through. Life is difficult. We as believers, though, are able to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, to turn to Him, to find that release valve that will help us maintain an even keel, even in the surmounting pressure. We're not crushed, even though we're hard-pressed. And even if the adversity and the outside pressure results in our death, which it can, our life can bring forth the sweet aroma of Christ to those that are around us, as they see us coping with the situation by relying on the strength that Christ can give. Life is difficult. Life as it is not only fragile and difficult, it's also confusing. That's also in chapter 4, 2 Corinthians verse 8. He could say that we're hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Life can be confusing. Here, Paul uses the word perplexed, and that means at a loss for a way, to be without resources, or in distress. You know, life can be confusing to everyone. Like when a project turns out much more difficult than you thought. Like when you think you're on top of the situation and on top of everything and the bottom drops out. Like when you counted on that extra money for something that you wanted to do and all of a sudden an unexpected car repair comes up or something goes wrong with the house or a sickness comes along and what you had planned to use that money for then has to go somewhere else. Life gets confusing. There are times when you get thrown a curve and the rug gets pulled out from under your feet, and you can use any number of cliches or phrases that you want to use to point out that life sometimes just gets confusing. How do you handle situations that leave you at a loss for a way? You don't know where to turn. How does anyone react to a situation that leaves you distressed and without resources? Life is confusing for everyone, and sometimes people will turn to ways of escape like alcohol or drugs or any other type of addictions. They do that so that they can escape the confusing difficulties of life. And then when they come back down to earth, only to find out that the situation has been made worse because of how they've chosen to try to escape. You know, as we go through these descriptions of life as it is, I have to ask myself, how in the world can an unsaved person cope with life as it is? Because sooner or later, difficulties are going to come to everyone. Sooner or later, confusing times are going to come to everyone. And if you don't know Christ, I don't know how you cope. I don't know how you put up with what you're going through. Without Christ, life is not only difficult, it's impossible. For the believer, life also can be confusing. Paul writes that although life is confusing, an undeniable fact of life, we as believers are not in despair. Not in despair. Man may, and many times do, despair of life and its confusing problems. sometimes that's what happens when life gets too confusing for people. They opt to end their life. Yet, we as believers can live above the despair through the strength that comes in Christ. Paul in his life was brought to many perplexing and confusing situations. Paul many times didn't know which way to turn, didn't know what was coming next. But he had a resource in the Lord Jesus Christ. Even though when there was seemingly outwardly no resource available to him, no way out, he could turn to Christ. And even though God often brought Paul to the breaking point, he did not leave him in despair. We are told of one difficult situation in 2 Corinthians. Let's turn back a page or two to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verses 8 through 10. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia. For we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, and we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. You also helping together in prayer for us, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many. Paul got to the point in one test in Asia to where it was almost to the point of despairing of life. He was sure he was going to die. There was absolutely no way he could get out of it. But he learned why he came to that point and why God allowed life to become so confusing in that situation. He said in verse 9, yes, we have the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Life situations may become confusing and impossible, but we need to remember that even if God brings us to the breaking point, that God is a God of the impossible. And many times He'll bring us to the breaking point so that we can at last stop trusting in our own resources and our own ways and trust completely in Him. And many times He'll allow life to become confusing for the believer so that we turn to Him and depend solely on Him to see us through that situation. Life is confusing. Life as it is not only confusing, but it's hostile. It's hostile. Back to chapter 4. Life is hostile for everyone. Chapter 4, Paul says that we are persecuted, but not forsaken. Life can be hostile for everyone. The word translated here, persecuted, means to put to flight, to drive away. You know, that can cover everything from neighborhood gang violence to bullies at school to people who are hard to deal with at work or any other situation that you can come up with. People can be persecuted for what they believe or don't believe, such as taking an unpopular stand on such issues as abortion or so-called homosexual rights or many other issues that confront us daily. Life can be hostile, or they can be persecuted for the way people can be persecuted for the way they look, the way they conduct their lives, or numerous other situations. Again, you can fill in the blank. Since you won't please everyone all the time, sooner or later, everyone is going to come up against persecution. Everyone. This is common to man, as all times of testing and trials are. Life as it is at times hostile. And life as it is for the believer may be hostile. We are especially promised that it will be difficult and that we will suffer persecution because of what we believe. Listen to what Jesus told His disciples in John 16. Let me just read it to you. In verses 1, 2, and 3, He says, these things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father or me. Then in verse 33 of that same chapter, He says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. We are promised as believers that we will face persecution, that we will face tribulation, that life will be hostile. And Paul could write in 2 Timothy 3:12 that all who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You know, we in this country don't know a whole lot about persecution for our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can be thankful for that. But that's not the case around the world. We've not lost homes or families or livelihood because of the name of Christ. We've not been beaten or suffered physically for our faith as others around the world do on a daily basis. You know, there have been thousands upon thousands who have suffered for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in this past year. In many lands where Islam is the dominant religion, people have been beaten, arrested, tortured, executed, and they've even started crucifying Christians again in some of the Muslim lands. Women are being sold, raped, tortured. In China, there continues to be a brutal crackdown on the house church movement. One report that I read said that on the average, in a year, the rate of martyrdom today, is about 159,000 Christians per year lose their life. That's 13,068 people per month. That's 436 people a day. And 18 people an hour lose their life because of their faith in Christ. Life, indeed, is hostile, especially for the believer. But even though life is promised to yield persecution for the believer, and sometimes that persecution is severe, we have something that other people who suffer from life's hostilities don't have. We have a promise that we will not be forsaken. Did you catch that? Persecuted, in verse 9, but not forsaken. The world may forsake us, families, friends may forsake us, governments may forsake us, but we have a promise that we will not be forsaken. The writer to the Hebrews could say in Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. He will never leave us nor forsake us. So that even during the difficult, hostile times of life that's promised to the believers, we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man can do to me. We've been promised that when we go through trials, the Lord will be with us. I keep going back to those verses in Isaiah 43, verses 2 and 3, where it says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee, for I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. We've been promised that as we go through times of persecution, there's one who goes with us that will never be forsaken. Life is hostile. And life is violent as well. Life as it is violence. The latter part of verse 9 in 2 Corinthians 4, struck down, but not destroyed. Struck down, but not destroyed. Again, we have to say that life as it is violent for everyone. Paul could say that life sometimes delivers violent blows. And that's true for everyone in the world. Just ask the man who about a year ago was lost in a bad section of Frederick, Maryland, and who stopped and asked directions, and who was drugged from his car and beaten senseless and robbed. Or ask anyone living in the inner city sections of our nation's larger cities. They experience what Paul spoke of here when he points out that sometimes we're struck down. Just ask the victims of gang violence or drive-by shootings. They'll tell you that life is violent. There are muggings and beatings and other violent acts that occur daily in this country and around the world. Life indeed is violent. And life can be violent for the believer. Yet for the believer, it can be even more so. We've already told you about the numbers of martyrdoms yearly. That doesn't count the number of imprisonments, the number of beatings, the number of scourgings, and the other violence that other believers in hostile countries go through. We in this country, again, are sheltered for the most part from this. Yet in Muslim countries, Christians are daily struck down for the cause of Christ. In China, they're struck down for the cause of Christ. Other countries, some are branded, some are homeless. Others are tortured. I read one account of a young girl who was captured and raped by a group of Muslims, and when they found a tattoo of a cross on her wrist that spoke of her faith in Christ, they poured sulfuric acid on her wrist to burn that off as they tried to convert her to Islam. We know very little about that type of violence in our own lives here in this country. Yet it goes on. It occurs every day around the world to our brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to pray for them. We may not know them by name, but we need to pray for them. Life is violent. You can take, for example, the life of the Apostle Paul. Here is a life that indeed was subject to violence. Let me just read to you a little bit of what happened to Paul. We won't have time to turn to it. He mentions it also in this letter in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, and in deaths off. Of the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Paul was an example of life as it is being violent, especially for the believer. Here's a man that suffered a great deal for the cause of Christ. Yet, what could he say about this? He could say, yes, I was struck down. I suffered violently at the hands of the Jews and Gentiles alike. Yet I was not destroyed. Paul and others like him were many times, as Mr. McDonald stated in his commentary, seriously wounded in action for the cause of Christ. Yet the Lord raised him up again and again to go with the glorious good news of the gospel. You know, it's hard for us to accept sometimes that this type of life, one that is full of affliction, at times is confusing and hostile and violent, is something that God desires for us. Would allow, for that could bring him glory. Yet for each negative description that Paul wrote here about life as it is, he gave a gleam of hope for us to hold on to. Paul assures the believer with hope and with admonition to the believer that he needs to develop a proper perspective on life. Yes, we're hard-pressed, but we're not crushed. We're perplexed, yet not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. One person summed up these verses this way: we are sore-pressed at every point, but not hemmed in, persecuted by men, but never abandoned by God, at our wits' end, but never at our hope's end, knocked down, but not knocked out. And another writer said, we're hemmed in, but not hamstrung, not knowing what to do, but never bereft of all hope, hunted by men, but never abandoned by God, often felled, but never finished. That's life as it is, and life as it is for the believer. There's always that area of hope, because we have placed our faith and trust and hope on a sure and certain help in the Lord Jesus Christ. The difference for the believer is that even though we may face life's difficulties, as everybody has to, and the believer even more so in some areas, we have a hope to hold on to. It's a hope that the world doesn't know anything about. Yet our response to life's difficulties and life as it is, many times is a witness to the world around us. That's life as it is. And then finally, in verses 10 and 11, always caring about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. Life as it is for the believer involves daily dying. It means an acceptance of death as a part of life in Christ. Paul pointed out that the four areas of harshness in life, verses 8 and 9, affliction, perplexity, persecution, and violence, this is a part of always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that's what Paul was talking about in 2 Corinthians 2 when he said, "Now thanks be to God who always leads in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one, we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other, the aroma of life leading to life." You know, when we go through these times of difficulties and are broken and bruised or crushed, we give off the aroma of Christ when we react in a manner that's pleasing to Him. You know, I can always tell when I'm mowing the yard around the house and I come across a place where the people who owned the house before us planted some mint. Because as it's cut or bruised or crushed, it gives off this minty aroma. That's the way it is with life in Christ. As we are broken and bruised and crushed, that's when the aroma of Christ is given off. At home in West Virginia, my mom always keeps an aloe plant growing on her back porch in a pot. And whenever there's a cut or whenever there's a burn, she goes to that plant and she breaks it. She bruises that leaf so that the goodness that's within can soothe the cut or the burn. That's the way it is with life in Christ. The aloe leaf is broken so the soothing ointment can be released. The same is true of myrrh, as you read about myrrh. It's only if the plant was crushed that the healing properties of the plant were useful. God wants us to be that way. He wants to have the life of Jesus to be manifest in our body. And He accomplishes this many times by woundings and bruisings and brokenness that comes in our life so that others around us can get a whiff of the aroma of Christ that's within. We're exposed to violence just as our Lord experienced violence. And we're promised to be persecuted just as our Lord was persecuted. But as Mr. McDonald points out in his commentary, it does not mean defeat. This is the way of victory. Blessings come to others as we thus die daily. It's the only way that the life of Jesus can be apparent in our bodies. How can the world see the life of Christ when He is not personally or physically present in the world today? The answer is that as we Christians suffer in the service of our Lord, His life is manifested in our bodies. We can allow the glorious light of the gospel of Christ to shine through our broken, cracked, earthly vessels by our acceptance of this type of sufferings, daily dying. And we need also to see that life springs from death. The Christian life many times is a paradox. We're told in the New Testament to find our life, we must lose it. That true life is found in death of self. To advance, you have to be a servant. And so on. Paul here brings out the paradox that life is being manifested through death. He points out in this verse, in verse 11, and elsewhere, that when he was weak, the strength of Christ was made manifest. The verse tells us that we're always delivered over to death for Jesus' sake. It's a constant state. And we're constantly being delivered to the point of death so that God's message will leak out of our cracked, broken vessels. Then the people who watch will learn and realize that there's nothing significant about the vessel itself, but there certainly is something significant about what the vessel contains, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, Mr. McDonald in his commentary says, "The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. The more the church is hunted and pursued, the more Christianity spreads.
And yet it's difficult for us to accept this truth. When violence comes to a servant of the Lord, we normally think of it as a tragedy. Actually, this is God's normal way of dealing. It's not the exception. Constant exposure to death for Jesus' sake is a divine manner in which the life of Jesus is manifested in our mortal bodies. So we see that the summation of life as it is, full of difficulties, pressures and difficulties that reveal the reality of true life from the inside, the life of Christ. We can reveal the reality of true life in Christ to those that are around us as we deal with life as it is, the way the Lord wants us to. Then this evening we'll look at life in its proper perspective and life as it's going to be for the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look to Him in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word and the reality of Your Word as it comes to us. As we see that life indeed, as it is, many times is painful and difficult and confusing in these fragile vessels that we have. Help us, Lord, as we as believers respond to these difficulties, show the love of Christ to those that are around us, to show how Christ can make a difference in our life. And Lord, maybe if there is someone here this morning that does not know Christ and they are suffering life's difficulties as it is, they do not have anywhere to turn when life takes a bad turn. May they put their faith in Christ this morning. Trust in Him for salvation, that they may have the resource that we as believers have to deal with life as it is. That we may live our lives as believers, Lord, may we live our lives that we may bring glory to You, that the treasure that's on the inside of these earthen vessels may shine through even in life's difficult times. Thank You for what You'll do, Lord. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.